I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca road, when along came a semi with a high-end canvas covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca, Mac, with me you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man, I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man, I breathe the mountain air, man. Of travel I've had my share, man, I've been everywhere. I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota.
Good evening, Vashon Island. This is the Cats and Jammers Follies, and I am Megan Hastings on KVSH. It's a travel story, and we're going to talk about traveling today with a gentleman named John Frum. That's right, except spelled with a U. John, you've been on Vashon for about 6 months now.
Correct. 6 months, almost exactly.
How do you find it so far?
Oh, if you would have asked me 3 months in, I would have said, I'm not quite sure about this. But 6 months in, I found the pace to be a lot slower, which I dig. And I like it overall.
And what do you do? I know that you have a radio show on KVSH called The Vanishing Hour, which is live on Fridays from 7 to 9 p.m.
Correct. Well, for enjoyment, I play guitar, I write, but for monetary purposes, I do what a lot of folks do. I work remote, and I am in the software field.
Nice. Well, that's awesome. That's a lot of people on Vashon.
Is it?
Yeah. So you used to be in a band called the Transient Songs. Is that correct?
Correct.
What kind of music is that?
I would say it's a psychedelic singer-songwriter, and we had probably a run for about 10 years with various members in Seattle, played all over the place over there, and I decided it's time to end that chapter. We have a new EP coming out, and
congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Finished it during the middle of COVID years, but I just feel like it's time to close that chapter and maybe try something different.
But do you want to continue doing music, or you think you're going to branch out to
music for sure?
John and I, when we first met, it was I don't know, late night at Home Sweet Home at the bar, and he and his wife, Yvette, correct, Yvette?
Yep.
We were talking, that's how we hit it off, was talking about music and talking about different bands from like the 90s from Chicago.
Yep exactly.
Which was, it's always fun conversations for me to have those, because it was such a small scene back then that I knew everybody, and it was just a fun time. Like how Seattle in the grunge years was very small. You could walk into the Comet and there's everybody that you know, and they're in every single band that you know.
Oh my God, I played The Vomit so many times, and I love that place. But yeah, Chicago, what a scene they had. I mean,
it was pretty epic scene. It's still a pretty epic scene,
yeah,
for sure. Yeah. Let me ask you a question. So we're going to talk, I wanted to hear a little bit more about you and have people introduce you. As you are somebody that's new to the island, you might not know a ton of people, and you know what I mean? So it's just interesting for the listener to hear who you are about. Mm-hmm. But so I'm looking at this piece of paper that you so lovely typed out for me, and it's talking about all these different trips that you took, which are so fun, and we're going to tell some of them and probably not tell all of them, although they all look awesome. But tell me, how did you get started in travel? How did that begin?
Yeah,
your interest?
So it was when I was 16, my father's side of the family, they took me to Ireland, and I was living in Texas at the time in a very small town.
Is that where you grew up?
Sort of, yeah. I grew up in Ohio, West Virginia,
right.
Hence the weird accent that's kind of via Texas and then Seattle. But they took me to Ireland and just the scenic splendor over there, the castles, having my first Guinness. We went to like Southern Ireland. So we spent a lot of time like Ring of Kerry.
Rather known as just Ireland.
Yeah, and just walking into the little towns and smoking cigarettes at 16 and going into the newsstands and reading like NME and learning about the Stone Roses. And I came home like with Stone Roses t-shirts and thought Brit Rock was just amazing. But yeah,
opened your mind up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've loved it ever since. And I happened to marry Yvette, a girl that absolutely just loves traveling, planning it, all that. I like to go along for the ride, but
she's really the planner.
Big time for
all
of our friends.
And as like a married couple, where do you guys like to go?
Well, we used to go to Europe every year. Our first official trip was Amsterdam in Holland, but since then we've covered all over Europe. Then we kind of branched out. I have a couple friends that live in Japan, went there, been to Thailand, and perhaps as you could see from these bullet points.
Yeah, you've been to a lot of places.
Very heavy into Europe.
Mexico.
Well, Mexico, yeah, many times.
Oahu.
Yeah.
Well, I would like for you to start off with one of your favorite descriptive stories from one of your travels.
Sure. So, I mean, I think, you know, I have some things that maybe, I don't know, aren't appropriate for kids or whatever. And just shows
I don't think this really your kids are tuning into this. I can almost guarantee.
Well, okay. Yeah. I mean,
a just lot no of, swearing, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, there is that.
No swearing. I will say probably one of the more interesting trips, so to speak, is we did go to Thailand a few years ago, and I found it rather interesting that in Koh Lanta, one of the islands there, one of the big things are psychedelic mushrooms. And
yeah, this is definitely not for kids.
Right. And it was a trip, and just seeing them on a menu in milkshakes.
Oh, like they legally can sell them?
Sort of. It's kind of like they put them on the menu, but the cops kind of let it go over there. So that was a very interesting milkshake. And I guess that they have this, you know, they have this moon festival every year.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of this.
But fortunately, I wasn't there then. But that was pretty cool. And on
but when you were, so when you were shrooming there over in Thailand, first off, how long was your trip?
In Thailand
no,
or the trip?
No, the trip on mushrooms.
Well, I think it was about 6 hours and it was pretty intense in that.
So, but what did you do during that time?
Well, the first thing I did was I stepped out into the water, and do you know squid boats? They shoot like the green lights, like lasers to attract the squids. And it just, as they kicked in, it felt like I was in a planetarium. And got a tuk-tuk back to where we were staying. And unfortunately, we went to the wrong side, to the wrong hotel. We went to a very fancy hotel that was along the same beach. And I went up to the guard station and they had machine guns. And I was saying, can we please just walk on this beach back to the eco lodge where we're staying? Kind of gotten a little bit of a heated discussion with them. And fortunately, my wife did not enjoy the milkshake. She didn't even have any. And pulled me away from it. But that was an interesting experience, being in a completely different land like that and indulging on something that they had on the menu.
Yeah. Oh, I can imagine. I personally, I'm somebody that has to be like completely safe and at home to have those sort of experiences. I don't think I would be able to do it.
Yeah.
In Thailand.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Oh, I can imagine.
it really was. But Thailand as a whole, what a very interesting country that was. I totally enjoyed that. But that's probably, I don't know if that's a highlight story because there were so many beautiful things there as well and places we stayed in the culture, but.
Oh, of course. Doing mushrooms in Thailand is not indicative of the country.
No.
Of course not. Well, why don't you tell me one of your highlight stories?
I would say probably one of the highlights of Thailand overall was, kind of put me on the spot. Well, I will step back and say, I didn't think Bangkok was that interesting. I like kind of smaller places when we travel. To me, Rome was even overwhelming, just the sheer size of it.
Well, that's a massive city.
And yeah, and Bangkok was like that. And I would say probably the islands over there in as innocuous as paddleboarding there. Paddleboarding was phenomenal in Thailand because the water is very calm and I would get up every day, go down to the paddleboarding place and just do that almost all day, come back, drink a couple beers, get a massage on the beach. And that to me was a highlight just because it was so beautiful over there.
Yeah, what else do you have to do?
And yeah, there was no pressure to be here and be there. That was probably a highlight. Yeah.
Nice. It sounds really beautiful. I've never been there, but I'd like to go one day.
There's
one
some rough day. Parts, and there's just some wonderful parts too.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah, that goes without saying for many, many fun and interesting places.
Yeah, Raleigh Bay, Koh Lanta, those islands, they're stunning. Yeah.
Well, why don't you take us back to your time in France?
Yeah, so France, I think that kind of ties back to what I was talking about, is kind of smaller places. And the Southern France trip, it was my friend's birthday, and he was turning 44, I believe it was. And at the time, he was living in Luxembourg. So they kind of knew the area, and they had rented a villa in a little town called Bidart. That's very close to the Spain border. And it was a great trip, one, because we had no real agenda, but we had like 3 weeks. And you know how it is sometimes when you travel, you're trying to just fit everything in and do it. But that particular trip is the only one as well that I had rented a car and drove all the way up the country. And that was phenomenal to me, because you could go places that you really couldn't get to just if you're flying in there or you're on a tour bus. So
oh, absolutely.
It was great.
Where did you drive through?
We drove up the coast, and then we crisscrossed over to Avignon. I don't know if you've heard of Avignon, Megan or Jeff.
It's, I have.
What's interesting about that town, it used to be a walled city, but the papacy actually moved from Italy to France for 6 years.
Oh, and, I think I did actually know that. I think I forgot about that.
And that was beautiful. And we also, one of the things that was very memorable is it was kind of a faux wine trip, I guess you could say. And
you mean for you or for someone else?
Oh, after this, we had split with our friends in Bidart, and we had moved on up the countryside, and we went to Chateauneuf-du-Pape and some of the different areas over there. And we had this gentleman named Charles, and we stayed at his house. And he was a wine lover, knew everybody in this particular region. And his whole thing is, I'm going to take y'all on a wine tour. But it wasn't like wineries like, you know, the Willamette Valley or Sonoma or anything. These little wineries, he knew where the keys were at, and he would go and get the keys and open them. And it was just us. Which was interesting.
Oh, that sounds so beautiful.
It was rad. And the conclusion of that wine tour is, when we went to Chateauneuf-du-Pape, he said that this is a really interesting gentleman that you're going to meet. And his name was Guy. This is very vivid to me. And Guy's family had owned this. It was not a castle, but it was a cellar of sorts, this old ornate brick building. And they had owned this. It had been in their family for years. Well, long story short, this gentleman, Guy, that owned it.
Was he older?
He was probably in his late 40s at the time. And he was apparently a very renowned wine expert in the area, in France, sommelier, all that good stuff. But he had a mental breakdown. And he was on the verge of losing the family's property and cellar and all of this. And what was endearing is the entire town had apparently rallied around this guy and helped him build his business back up, helped him get back on his feet. And we spent probably 3 hours down in his cellar just trying different wines and such, and such a nice guy. But that's
so
really
special
vivid.
That you were invited in that close into that kind of a situation.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, that was kind of one of the special things, I guess, about just driving and not having an agenda and finding that individual that we stayed at his place on the way. And it just turned out to be...
You stayed at Guy's place.
Oh, no, sorry. At Charles, the guy that took us on the
Got it. Okay. Yeah.
Now, Guy's place would have been really interesting because it was medieval. And
we have a couple friends that... Well, they just got married a couple weeks ago and we catered their wedding, but... The gentleman of the two just spent the last like 3 months helping this, I think they're Australian, this Australian couple went to France and they bought it's more than a villa, like you know, like when you see like literally one of those like super giant old houses. Mm-hmm. It's like a mini castle, basically. I'm not thinking of a chateau. Thank you.
Yeah.
And he worked on it for 3 months, and it just kind of reminded me of that story.
So they bought the place.
No, an Australian couple bought the place, and I think they're going to turn it into some sort of like a slow food movement sort of hotel, you know, which happens a lot in Italy and in France. And so, but I got to see all the pictures, and like Vogue was doing photo shoots there, and it was just incredible. Not that I got
great.
To go, but you know, sounded good.
That sounds great. Speaking of kind of which, when we go back to Vashon a little, with my friend, we went to a great thing the other day. I'm sure you guys are very familiar with the Kirkwood Farms.
Yeah.
But he had a real nice cooking class the other day and went to that. But
my husband is old friends with Kirk.
Yeah. That was great.
His place is beautiful. It's really cool old farmhouse that he just took over and like made gorgeous.
It was awesome.
Yeah, he's a really cool guy.
Yeah. And as I understand that building on his property is like the oldest house on Vashon, from what I understand.
That part I don't know.
Yeah.
Did he say what year?
No, but that's what my friend told me, so I believe him.
we'll run with that.
Yeah. But it was cool. Yeah.
So did you make it to the big city then of Paris?
Yeah, absolutely. That was our second time there, first time that I had ever driven there. And I would say the trip up there, well, if I step back a minute, at first when we got to France, I don't know if you've ever heard of a vehicle called a Twingo.
Yeah, I have seen it.
Oh my, we picked that thing up at the airport and it was like a little Barbie car. Didn't hold all of the luggage, and that thing would not go over 50 on the freeway. And I was terrified knowing we have to drive this all the way across France. So long story short, took it back, fortunately got a Jetta, drove all the way up, hit these towns, and the friend, my old guitar player that we were staying with in Bidart, that it was his birthday, he had turned me on to the War on Drugs, the band. Mm-hmm. And I just thought that band was phenomenal for driving across that countryside because the highways there are like smooth as glass and it was wonderful. So I became a
perfect
big fan.
Perfect driving music for you.
Oh my God, perfect. Yeah.
Welcome back, John.
Thank you, Megan.
That is a beautiful song. I can't say that I mean, I know the name for sure, War on Drugs, but when I think about it, I think more of Nancy Reagan.
Tipper Gore.
And all those ladies, I think, was it Nancy Reagan who did the War on Drugs? It was, Just Say No. Oh my God, I'll never forget that time in the world. It was like, I don't know how old you are, but I'm 50. And I remember one time when I was like 12 and curfew was like a big deal in Chicago.
Yeah.
And it was, that's sort of like around the same time that like the actual war on drugs was happening. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I remember I got picked up by the cops cause it was like 11:30 and They took me to, well, it was my mom's apartment, but my sister was there and she's only 2 years older than me. And it was so funny because she herself was always in trouble and always out till like 1 o'clock in the morning. We were kind of squirrely kids. And just to be dramatic in front of these cops, they like knock on the door. She opens it and they're like, is this your sister? And she's like, yeah, I'm going to get her. And they totally like, she dramatically slapped me in front of the police just to like show a point like, yeah, whoa, we're going to take care of this business. And I was like, really? You probably walked in 5 minutes ago. Oh, yeah. That's my war on drugs.
Yeah. I'm only a couple years younger than you. And yeah, I remember the war on drugs. And it was also the war on music, too.
Oh, yeah, with Tipper Gore.
Yeah, my mother.
And Twisted Sister.
Yeah, I was so into like Motley Crue and Shout at the Devil and Ozzy Osbourne and Sabbath. And
Shout.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, man. And that was good times.
My mother at the local junior high, they had a thing about Satan and what it was doing to kids and this heavy metal music. And she made me go to it. And I found out about bands I didn't even know about and wanted to know even more about the
genre.
Yeah,
she totally opened your eyes.
So come back, I guess.
And then you came back with like fully feathered winged hair.
Oh, I had parachute pants and did the feathering of the hair sometimes, yes.
Oh my God. I remember the first time I went to Los Angeles, it was during that time period of music. And I think I was like 17 or something. I wasn't into that music. I was into like a little darker music, but you know, it was around. You couldn't escape it. Mm-hmm. But my friend and I remember we were walking down Sunset Strip near the end of the strip, which is where the Rainbow is.
Lemmy's place.
And it was just, I mean, it was for sure, it was 1988. And I was just like, whoa, this place is insane.
Yeah, that and it was continued. Like the
heyday. Oh man, it was. It was so good. But I don't know that I had a... We didn't go into the Rainbow, but we for sure hung out outside of it, pretending to be cool.
Place is legendary. Have you been there in the past few years since Lemmy died? They actually have a statue of him in there. And
do they really?
Yeah, and his seat at the bar, because he used to live upstairs from the Rainbow, and he would sit there and play video poker, I guess. So they kind of dedicated that seat to it. It was so cool.
No, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been inside, you know, as an adult, but not since then, no. Yeah,
some true debauchery happened there from documentaries I've saw. But...
Talk about tripping.
Right. Indeed.
So you're going to talk about a musical person in France that you quite enjoy.
Yeah, I'll talk about a couple real quick. I kind of have a thing for dead musicians, and I don't mean that in a way that I think dead musicians are better than live ones, but I'm always interested in either where they met their demise or where they're laid to rest. And, you know, I've always kind of wanted to go to Pierre Lachaise, which is the cemetery that Jim Morrison buried in. And that was kind of a cool thing to me, like Oscar Wilde's buried there too, Marcel Mosso, the
story
French.
Goes.
Yeah. But anyhow, it was cool to go see Jim Morrison's grave and just all the bottles and junk that people have put there, which I guess is apt, but he died in Paris.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people know that, but yeah, he died in a bathtub there. That was his final resting place. But where I really wanted to go is I wanted to go see where Serge Gainsbourg lived.
Who was an amazing musician.
Right. What a dapper, suave, kind of like a grittier version of our Dean Martin, I guess you could say. Always smoking and drinking and the ladies. But his house there, it at the time, was just very dark and black on the outside. Mm-hmm. And
do you remember what part of Paris it's in?
Yeah, I believe it was right by the Jewish district. I can't remember the number. I would want to say 12 because they have, you know, like the numbers that they give to the districts.
Yeah.
But you couldn't go in it. And I had read so much about it that his daughter, Charlotte Gainsbourg, who's also quite a celebrity in her own right, model, singer, she had preserved that place exactly like when he died. So the ashtrays with the cigarettes were still there, the bottles he had drank out of, furniture, all that. And what I had heard is last year for the 30th anniversary of his death, She was actually opening that up as a museum so people other than the likes of Paul McCartney and types like that could actually go through and see it, because I read
us regular folk.
Us regular folk. But yeah, that was a highlight just to see where he lived. Kind of to tie it back, when I talk about my friend turning me onto the war on drugs, when I lived over in Greenwood for such a long time, there is a great restaurant bar there on Greenwood called the Gainsburg. Always playing his music, pictures on the wall of him and Jane Birkin, playing his movies in there. And that's really where I discovered him. And yeah, I just, anyhow.
That's a nice image. I do love his voice a lot.
Oh, it's so smooth.
Yeah. Can you not love that sexy, sexy voice of his and hers? What is her name?
Jane Birkin. That was his lady for many, many years.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so sweet and beautiful. I love it. Are you having any last final words you want to talk about?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's so much that happened on that trip. But to wrap it up, when I returned home, aside from my memories, I found in the mailbox probably a dozen speeding tickets. And as I said,
which is not what you want to come home to.
No, and I couldn't even really read it. It wasn't in English. They had sent it to, I guess, Hertz. But I knew what they were. And I discovered, like I said, the roads are like glass over there.
Yeah.
That they, everywhere they have the radar. So I had just collected speeding tickets all the way through France, and I've never paid them, and I hope I could go back, and if I do, one of the first orders of business will be
to take care of those tickets?
To go to the police and say, I'm sorry.
Like, would you actually? Oh, I would never do it.
Oh my God, if I'm driving,
I would blow that off so hard. I don't like to drive, though, so it's kind of a moot issue to me.
Well, maybe I wouldn't if I'm not driving, but I feel bad about it.
John, I want to thank you so much for coming on and sharing your awesome stories with us.
Thank you so much.
I've been everywhere.
Thank you so much, Vashon. This is Megan Hastings, and this is the Cats and Jammer Follies on KVSH 101.9, Voice of Vashon.